Greet you this morning in the worthy name of Jesus. Blessing to be in the house of God this morning. The title of the message chosen this morning is Walking His Way. Walking His Way. I was blessed with the words of the bulletin, the front, where it talks about the gentle shepherd. Of course, we're talking about Jesus Christ. His or walking his way, walking the way of Jesus Christ, the way of our shepherd. Think about, a shepherd that is leading his sheep. The sheep cannot walk the way of the shepherd unless they follow the shepherd or walk with the shepherd in his way. Chosen a verse out of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 for a text verse. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. As we think of Jesus Christ and of God, there's various ways of looking at this. Here it is saying that walk ye in him. And when God spoke to Abraham, God said, I am the Lord God. He said, walk before me and be thou perfect. You might raise the question, how can you walk in Christ and how can you walk before him? Or as Paul says, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. How can we walk in front of Christ before him? And how can we follow him? And how can we walk in him all three at the same time? Or even you could say beside him. I like to think of it as, with God being able to be everywhere, that God can be in all those places at once. We are before God, we are following God, and we are walking in God, in Christ. And I like the testimony of Abraham when he called his servant, Eliezer, I think it was, and asked him to go back to his kindred to find a wife for Isaac, his son. And we know how he went there and he found Rebekah, and she returned and became the wife of Isaac. But when Abraham was telling Eliezer to go, he said that, or his testimony was that the Lord before whom I walk. And that was in Genesis chapter 23, but it was in Genesis chapter 17 where God had spoken to Abraham and he said, walk before me and be thou perfect. So we see here Abraham's testimony that he was doing the work that God had asked him to do, and that was to walk before God. And as I look at my life and, observe my life, I see so many areas of my life that is not or has not been in agreement with this, of as this verse says, so walk ye in him. Had a little incident that happened yesterday morning as I was sitting in my office, just sat down to read my Bible. I looked out the window and I saw Chad walking over to a little thing to have in the front yard there, where I have a row of blocks, a little box, and I have a cover over that where my valves are that I can control the fountain in our pond. Well, our pond had filled up this winter with all the rain that we had, so I had turned that off after the cold weather was passed, thinking that, it's now safe to turn it off. I had kind of left it on so it wouldn't freeze, and I had turned it off thinking that, the cold weather was pretty much past, and it wasn't that cold, the other night, but that one valve had split, right down the middle, and the water was shooting out. Well, as I came into that situation, I confess that I did not walk the way of Jesus Christ. It was quite upsetting to me, because that was one of the things that I had been afraid that might happen, and now this thing had happened. And I was thinking of all the work, involved digging that up and, you know, repairing that fix. I had a series of valves and T's to do the thing the way I wanted to do it, so it wasn't just a real simple fix. And just to bring out of how upset or shook up I was about it is that I had three valves in a row. Well, the middle valve is the one that was broke, and I never noticed until I had cut the pipes yesterday afternoon. I never noticed that I could have just turned off that first valve and the flow would have stopped. And I never noticed that until I had cut that thing out. And, you know, I could have repaired it later. But here I was all, you know, into this thing of I've got to go to town, I've got to get these pipe fittings, and I've got to get this thing fixed because we've got water leaking. And, you know, as I look at my life and some of the things that we've been through in the last year and a half or so, I look at things in my life that, you know, I know that the way I responded or reacted to some of the situations in life was not walking His way. You know, it was letting self get in and, you know, trying to figure out on my own maybe a way of remedying the situation or fixing the situation instead of, you know, really, as I have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him and let the life and the words of Jesus Christ, you know, flow through me. Instead, maybe it was my words at times. It says in Isaiah 30 verse 21, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." You know, and that would go hand in hand as God said to Abraham, "Walk before me, be thou perfect." And as, you know, as we're walking, that we hear the word of God, when we deviate to the right or to the left of where God wants us to go, we hear the word of God saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." You know, go straight on. This is where I want you to go. And, you know, I do believe that God brings us into situations in life that we have to make decisions. We have to make choices. And, you know, maybe we sometimes pray for doors to open. We pray for direction. We pray for clarity, you know, as to what God would have us to do. But I believe that, you know, as long as we are not doing the things that we know that are in front of us, that, you know, God will not open the door, will not bring clarity for us to move on if we don't do the things that are right in front of us that need doing at the time that God has already showed us. You know, things that maybe I'm not willing to do. So, you know, if we want the blessing of God, then, yeah, we need to be willing to do whatever God asks us to do if we want to walk in His way. I'd like to look just briefly at Leviticus chapter 26. Now, this is Old Testament, but here God is speaking, I believe, through Moses to the people of Israel, children of Israel. And He is telling them different things that He will do if they walk in His way. And in verse 3, it says, "If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them." Leviticus 26, verse 3. This is Moses speaking to the children of Israel, God speaking through Moses. And, you know, today we don't have Moses here, if you will. But, you know, God does speak to us through individuals. He speaks to us through the church. He speaks to us from His word directly through His spirit. There are various ways that God does speak to us, and we do well if we, you know, if we listen to that, we heed that, and we walk in His way. But God says here that if you walk in my statutes, if you keep my commandments, and then He goes on and He gives a blessing of how He is going to bless His people if they walk in His way. And He says in verse 11 that if they do that, He says, "I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you." And He says, "I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people." In verse 14, he says that if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, but you'll despise my statutes and abhor your soul, abhor my judgments, then he goes on and he says that he will bring adversity and punishment to them. In verse 21, he says, and if you walk contrary unto me, in other words, if you're walking and God says, this is the way, walk ye in it, but you go right or you go left, and you walk contrary, or maybe you make a U-turn and you go back the other way from where God is telling you to walk, and you don't listen to the voice of God, he says, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. And he goes on and he talks of more things that he's going to bring on them. And then he says that in verse 27, if you will not, for all this, for all the trouble that God brings unto you, if you will not listen to him, but will continue to walk contrary unto me, then he says, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. And I will chastise you 7 times for your sins. To me, you know, this is Old Testament reading here. In the day of the law, when it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, you know, and you know, if you were hurt, you hurt back, that kind of mentality. But here we see the love of God in drawing his people, and you know, when his people strayed and when they didn't listen to the Spirit of God, to God speaking to them, how that God was bringing adversity into their lives, you know, bringing a little adversity to try to draw them back, and then bringing more adversity if they didn't listen to that. And then finally in verse 28, it's like the destruction of the soul. And I think that same thing is true, and it would apply to us today. If we walk contrary to God and we disregard the trouble, the adversity, the trials that God allows and brings into our life when we walk contrary to him, and then God brings more of that and more of that. You know, at some point, we'll be into verse 28 where it says, I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. We will begin to feel the wrath of God. You know, today, in the day of grace, God is even more showing his love in drawing us back when we stray from him. So, you know, for us today, as the Bible says, quench not the Spirit. You know, when the Spirit of God speaks to us, that we don't quench the Spirit, but when we see those areas and God reveals those areas of our lives to us that we have not surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, areas that we are not broken in, that we allow him to draw us today, that we do not harden our hearts, but that we listen to that call of love, that grace, that mercy that he is extending to us. You know, sometimes we pray and we ask God or Jesus to be with us or to go with us. Or we sing, you know, the song, and he walked with me and he talks with me. You know, maybe it should be more like, you know, I walk with him. Because if you're going to be with Jesus, you are going to have to be going his way. As I mentioned about the shepherd, you know, you can't be going the other way and expect to be with the shepherd. You know, you can't expect Jesus to be with you and to bless you when you're going your own way, doing your own thing. And that, I believe, is always the opposite of the way of Jesus. You know, it's like going in two directions, because there are only two ways. You know, it's either God's way or it's the devil's way. And, you know, we're either going one direction or the other. We can't be going in a middle road, if you will. In Psalm 78:10, it says, they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. You know, speaking of the children of Israel. You know, even when God brought chastisement on them, they refused that. It says in Psalm 82:5, they walk on in darkness. And yet, in Psalms 119, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, it's like the people it talks about in John chapter 3. When God sent light into the world, they chose darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They wanted to keep on doing the things they wanted to do. So they kept on in the darkness rather than choosing light. In our Sunday school lesson in verse 10, it says, "Correction is grievous to him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die." So, you know, in Psalm 78, verse 10, where it talks about not keeping the covenant of God and refusing to walk in the law of God, you know, those are people that have forsaken the way of God, who are refusing to walk in the way of Jesus Christ. And correction is grievous. You know, they don't like to be corrected because they want to keep on doing the thing that they want to do. But you know, God allows U-turns, and that goes for both ways. God created us and gave us choice. You know, God is not going to force us, even though he says, "This is the way, walk you in it." God is not going to force us to walk in his way. So therefore, God allows U-turns. You know, if we find ourselves this morning walking in a direction opposite of God, if we're going away from God, God allows U-turns and we can repent and come back to God. Or if we are walking with God and we become or fall into a rebellious state and we turn away from God, God, sadly, but he does allow that. And I believe he does it with, you know, with sadness in his heart. In Hebrews 13:5, you know, the promise is that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But we cannot claim the promise of God unless we meet the conditions of God. You know, it is true that no one, as Jesus said in John chapter 10, no man or no one can pluck you out of the Father's hand. That is true. But you can make a U-turn and you can leave the Father's hand. You know, even the gates of hell shall not prevail against a person. Even Satan himself cannot prevail against a person that is kept by the Father in the Father's hand. But because God gave us choice, we can choose to make a U-turn and go the other direction and leave the Father's hand. Why does Jesus require that we walk his way? Why doesn't he just give us the promises without having to meet the conditions? Isn't it because his way is right? The way of Jesus is always right. Because his way is the only way. Because he is the way. And because he loves us. You know, the Bible tells us that God would not have any to perish. You know, and God is really working for our good in everything he does. Everything that he allows to come into our lives is for our good. He loves us. You know, as parents, we have rules that we ask our children to abide by. Rules that we ask our children to obey. We do that because we care about our children. We love our children and we want them to have the best that God would have for them in life. We want them to grow up and learn to make right choices and wise choices. You know, but because we're human, as parents, sometimes we make mistakes in the rules and the way we enforce the rules. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we have to go back and say, you know, I'm sorry. But that's not the way with Jesus. You know, he never makes mistakes with his rules. He never makes mistakes in the way he enforces his rules. You know, it is written, and as God says, "I am the Lord, I change not." Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't have to come back and say, "I'm sorry, I messed up," because he is perfect, he is right. And his rules are always for our good. His way is always for our good. You know, we might think that if God denies us something that we really want, that God doesn't really love us. You know, that if God would really love us, that he would give us that thing that I really want, that I'm really desiring to have. But you know, the opposite is actually true. If God did not love you unconditionally, then he would just give us the things that we want, the things that would destroy us, because he wouldn't love us unconditionally. But true love always does what is best for the other person. always does what is best for the other person. You know, in the same way with us as parents, sometimes we have to say no to our children. And we don't say no to our children because we hate our children. We do that because we love them. Because us being older and wiser, we see that, you know, this thing would not be good for them. And we want the best for our child. You know, and if the child rebels and throws a fit, then, yeah, a trip to the woodshed is in order. You know, and if we rebel against God when he says no, he'll let us make that U-turn. He'll let us take our own way. But you can expect, you can count on it, that there's going to be adversity. There's going to be something in your way that you'll stumble at, that you'll trip over. Because God put it there. Because he wants to speak to your heart. He wants you to see that, yeah, this is not the way. He wants you to stop and think. God always draws you back. And I believe that the only way back, you know, when we make that U-turn and we go the opposite way of what God is wanting us to go, the only way back is by repentance. By, you know, Lord, I'm sorry. I messed up. I rebelled. And remember that God is never wrong. Jeremiah 10, verse 23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You know, we might think that I've got it figured out. I've got it all together. But pride goes before destruction, the haughty spirit before a fall. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know, when you think you've got it figured out, look out. Chances are you might already have made that U-turn and are no longer walking in his way. So what are some conditions that we have to meet in order to walk his way? Well, I believe, first of all, John chapter 3 would apply, where Jesus said you must be born again. You cannot come into the kingdom of God except you are born again. You cannot walk with Jesus unless you are partakers of a divine nature. Otherwise, you will always be rebelling against him. And by the way, when we rebel against Jesus Christ after we have been born again and God has put that part of himself within us, when we rebel against Jesus Christ, that is the old carnal man. That is the old man that is rebelling and is turning us around. It is not the new man. So yes, we must be born again. Also, I believe we have to have a surrendered heart. We have to experience brokenness, a giving up of my will. And not my will, it is God's will. You know, we sing the song, Blessed Jesus, Hold My Hand. You know, and I get the picture of, you know, my hand in the hand of Jesus. But Jesus is not going to hold your hand if you don't give him your hand. And I don't think you're going to give him your hand unless you have brokenness, unless you have a surrendered heart. And you know, if we give him our hand and then we're going along and we see something that we don't like and we rebel and we jerk that hand away, he's going to let go. He's going to let you make the U-turn. But now if you're walking along, you have given him your hand and you're trusting him, and you trip on something, he's going to catch you. He's going to keep you from falling because you're trusting him and you want to walk in his way, because Jesus always knows your heart. And remember, he never makes a mistake. Another condition is you have to be going his way. You know, you cannot pray and expect that you can continue on your way, doing the things you want to do, opposite of what God wants, and expect that Jesus will come and walk that way with you. It doesn't work that way. And then also, I believe it takes commitment. It takes purposefulness and decisiveness. As it says in Psalms 86:11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." We notice the word there, "I will." You know, those words can be used in a wrong way. You know, like Satan did, you know, Lucifer. He said, "I will do this. I will be exalted. I will do that, this, and I will do that." But that was rebellion against God. But in the same way, I believe God wants us to be decisive and have purpose in our lives. And he wants us to say, "I will walk with you, Lord. I will bend my knee to you. I will bow my heart to you. I will surrender my life to you." I believe God wants us to say those words in that sense. Commitment. You know, "I will trust you, even if it hurts. I will trust you." You know, as we walk with Jesus, we cannot expect to go very far with him and continue on our walk very long unless we are willing to say, "I will do anything and everything that you ask of me. Whatever it is that you ask of me, I trust you that you know what is best, that you see the whole picture, and I will do that, whatever it is." In Amos chapter 3, verse 3, it asks the question, "Can two walk together except to be agreed?" No, they cannot. So when we disagree with Jesus, you know, we are going to automatically pull our hand out of his. We're going to make that U-turn because we are no longer trusting him. We are no longer walking in his way. Another condition, I believe there has to be love. Two people will not get very far in walking in the same direction unless they love each other. Now, when we look at the love that Jesus has for us, I mean, there's no question about that. He gave his life. He died on the cross for you, for me. There's no question, yeah, he does love us. But how about my love for him? How about your love for him? Are you willing to do anything for him because you love him so much? You love him that much. You know, when you think about the former sins, the things that you have been involved in and you have been delivered from, why do you not do those things anymore? Is it because I'm afraid to get caught? Is it because I want to stay out of hell? Or is it because I love Jesus more than those things now? Because that is where my heart is. In closing here, it says, the Bible tells us to do these things. These are just paraphrased here. The Bible tells us to walk humbly, to walk honestly, to walk in the light, to walk as children of light, to walk in the Spirit. This is God's Spirit, of course. To walk in love, to walk in wisdom, to walk circumspectly, to walk in newness of life, to walk worthy of the Lord, and to walk even as he walked. Now, I was blessed with the devotional this morning on forgiveness out of Matthew 18, Brother Nathan shared. And the Bible tells us to forgive as he forgave us also. I'd like to close with Psalm 23. It says here, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So here it is saying that the testimony of the psalmist here, yea, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because Jesus is with me. Walk his way. Revelations 3, latter part of verse 4 says, they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Why are they worthy? Because of the blood of Jesus. Because of the price that was paid on the cross. Am I walking in his way? Let's kneel for prayer.